ZLK. Frequency and 4ZLK.
Hey,
just wanted to know if you could tell me how the signal sounds. I just had to put a new end on the microphone cord. Wanted to know if it sounded all right.
Good. You talk to me again, so I'll give you a number.
Hey, Chandler. You doing okay today? Oh, I just wanted to test this cord out. I struggled getting an end on it at first. I finally figured it out. We'll talk to you later. You have a good day. N4ZLK.
DJW Mobile.
WKO4CEF. How you doing this morning, Dave?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm playing on some FT8 this morning.
A vehicle that skims across the surface of the air came in recently somewhere near your house.
Yeah, it did. I finally got it put together yesterday, and I went over to Steve's house and used that Interlink controller. That was pretty fun.
Real-time simulation. I've got an older, really old version of it. I used to use it probably 10 years ago, and it is very valuable toward building up your skills, especially for when it turns around and comes back at you and everything goes reverse. Your brain takes a little while to adapt to that.
The safe mode definitely helps out, but if I flip the intermediate or expert, man, it went squirrely pretty fast.
That safe mode, I think, I think that's like Horizon Hobby's version of fly-by-wire. Fly-by-wire means like there's a wire strung through the sky and you're flying on that wire. So it doesn't bank very far when you turn it. You can't like do a roll or a loop or anything like that. It's like flying on a tight wire. Well, you can turn, but they're really gradual, slow turns. And when you flip that off, then you get full control.
Yeah, and then, man, when you flipped it all the way off, boy, it was twitchy then. You just barely move the sticks and it'll start turning.
Fine. It's good to do the other just to get used to it, but you don't want to stay there too long before you turn that off.
Shoot, I was hoping to get out today and maybe fly. I don't know if the wind's going to get up or not.
Ahead, and I don't see any days that it's going to be any days in the near term that it's going to be low enough to do that. I told him it'd be a really bad experience for you if we got you out there and tore your airplane up on the first day. We don't want to do that.
I understand that. I probably don't need the wind's help, though. I'm probably going to do it on my own at some point in time. All I did find on Horizon's website, which I'm glad I saw now, where pretty much every part on the plane can be replaced. So if I mess up the fuselage, I can reorder the whole thing, and it's only, $60. It's still $60 that you're spending, but at least it can be replaced instead of buying a brand new one.
Horizon's okay for getting started, especially if you don't know if you're going to stick with it. But they're a little expensive over the long term compared to, Hobby King. Hobby King, you could buy two airplanes for what a fuselage and one airplane would cost you. So you can get all your spare parts for the price. The airplanes are like less than $100 or $89 or something like that. And you get two airplanes and you've got 100% spare parts. But with Horizon, if you buy every spare part or a second airplane, you're well up into the $300, $400, $500 range. So you got to be careful with that. Once you get into it, there's this threshold where you need to evaluate it. Are you going to stick with the hobby or not? And then start looking for, more for less. A whole lot more for a whole lot less.
And he was showing me that controller he had yesterday, and I guess a similar controller from Spectrum would be, $600-$700. And the one he had was, $299 when I was looking on Amazon. So that was a really nice controller as well. So definitely started adding stuff to my wish list. That way, if I decide I want to stick with it, which more than likely I will, because I've flown airplanes for a while. It's just never been remote control. It's always string control. But I think if my boys like it, I would definitely stick with it.
That is a very good example. Yeah, that one is completely programmable. It will have firmware upgrades in the future. You can do just about anything you want to do with it for a long time to come. Whereas the Spectrum, they decide what you're going to get. There's no programming. They do all the programming. They don't let you have access to the programming, and you get what they give you. Which I've got a whole bunch of Spectrum, but once the Free Sky stuff started coming out, I abandoned them. I got a drawer full of receivers that I swapped out of all my airplanes, and that was expensive. But you know, that's why the warning: be careful, don't do what I did.
And you know, just the thing is having to learn the rest of it, because you know, then I like you said, with the Ready to Fly or the Bind and Fly, you know, they come with pretty much everything, and all you got to do is bind your controller to it, as long as it's a Spectrum receiver in the plane. So learning all that kind of stuff is going to be, it's going to be interesting if I do stick with it. And but man, there's some awesome planes out there. I was looking last night, I was showing my son, was watching some videos with some jets and stuff, and which I don't know that I'd want to do, because those things will get, they'll get going pretty fast. But some of the planes that they have are really neat, and I think it'd be a lot of fun to fly. KO4CF.
Yeah, and Horizon has some really good videos out there and some good pictures in the magazines. I don't know if you're signed up with AMA yet, or when you did, if you got the model or magazine that comes with AMA. But they got really good advertisements. The thing is, they're kind of like the American auto manufacturers, you know, sans Ford. Ford didn't do it so much, but GM and Chrysler and a lot of the other ones, they designed their parts to wear out in 60,000 miles. I was forever. I was forever on the side of the road with a broken part. And I was a car mechanic back in those days, back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And I just decided enough is enough. And I switched over to Japanese-made cars and never got left on the side of the road again. Horizon is just now, they haven't figured out yet that they build really, really lightweight, and that's important. But with that comes fragility. They're very fragile. So they're forever nickel and diming you to death, the same way General Motors and Chrysler and all those American car manufacturers nickel and dimed you to death back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Now they figured, they since then figured it out, but they're still working on catching up. They haven't caught up yet. So that's another thing to think about. They're beautiful advertisements. They're beautiful flying. The jets are, they just draw you in like a moth to a flame. But be careful. That's my and you know, I mean, if you got plenty to spend, then it doesn't matter, right? You can do that. And but you got to have plenty if you want to go that route. I like to stretch my dollars kind of thin if possible.
Plus, you know, I get less out of the wife if I do that way. So yeah, I'm all about that. That's why I haven't like the software that the Real Flight with the controller was like $200. And I'm like, holy moly, that's a lot of money. So I ended up buying the trainer software for $40, and I'm just using like a PC game controller to go with it. Not quite as good as using the real controller because of the way the sticks work, but, you know, it gave me an idea of the way it works. And then the little USB adapter that I can bind my my actual transmitter to and work it that way and actually get some time on my controller, I think will be worthwhile. But then I will have spent only $80 versus the $100 would be for the whole set. So yeah, I try to save money where I can, and then the wife keeps me in check.
At the end, you come out a whole lot better. There's nothing that beats getting an airplane in the sky and flying it without any crutches. Sometimes I'll tell Steve, I'll ask Steve, have you got the stabilization turned on? He'll say no. And that's by design. He's doing that on purpose because, you know, that's a crutch that you don't want. I mean, in the beginning you want it, right? But then there's going to be a point where you want to get your reflexes built up. And it's all about muscle memory, just like learning CW. Right, you can force your brain to have to think about every move in CW, and you'll never get past 12 or 13 or maybe 18 words a minute. Or you can let your brain do its thing just by practicing a whole lot, and your brain will let you go on up to 20, 24, 32 words a minute. It's the same thing. It's the exact same thing, muscle memory. And the more you, and then once you get the boys flying, once you get them in the air, and you're flying with them, you all get signed, everybody gets signed off, and you still got a ways to go because it doesn't just like snap and you've got it. But once you and them, they get flying at the same time, and you're flying together, and you're flying in patterns. It's not just you, the plane going where it wants to, and you're just keeping it in the area. It's you're telling the plane where to go, and your mind is distracted by your son doing the flying at the same time that you're doing the flying, and both of you start progressing like 10 times faster than you do when you're by yourself.
And then Steve was showing me his plane where he's going to do the first-person view. I didn't even know that was an option. I mean, I watched some videos yesterday. A guy was flying a wing, and he was moving at like 190-something kilometers. And it's just like, holy crap. I mean, I thought that was pretty cool. I didn't even know that was an option or ever was an option for a remote control plane.
The ultimate. I've done that with, I got an incoming call, but I've done that. And once you fly with goggles on, you never want to go back. Let me get this phone call and I'll be back. W4DJW.
I see you. Standing by.
DJW Mobile. Talking about the flight trainer, flight simulator, the real sky, what's the name of that real something flight simulator?
Yes, real flight. So I downloaded the real flight trainer.
That's good for building that reflex so that, I don't know if you've noticed it yet, but when you turn left and you come back to you, the controls are reversed, but when you turn right and come back to you, the controls reverse, but how you respond to it is different. You got to actually go past neutral and back to the other side to get it straight back up. And building the reflexes to do that without thinking about it, that just takes hours and hours of flying.
In order that that USB adapter, so I can bind my transmitter to the computer and fly it that way. I mean, Steve offered to let me come over to his house, but, you know, I still need to do it from the house, and I want to let my boys try as well, because if I ever put the transmitter in their hand, I want them to know how to use it as well, so, and hopefully that'll let them fly and not just try to get out there and try to do it.
I like doing the real thing, but there's nothing like building up reflexes on when you can't be outside flying, like at nighttime, or if it's raining, or the wind's blowing 90 miles an hour. You can still, I used to compete. I used to go around in the national competition. And when I wasn't able to fly, I would always get that simulator out every day, every single day, and practice the maneuvers every day. And it was a lot of fun. It's a lot of discipline, too. You got to be disciplined to do that every day. But it does build muscle memory. Just like going out, once you learn how to do CW and going out and actually doing CW on the low bands, nothing helps you. That's when you really start learning CW, is when you go out there on the low bands and start doing it.
Yeah, I understand that, because that's where I struggle with CW. I need to get on there and start calling CQ. But, yeah, the rule definitely applies. And that's why I want to try to get more time on the trainer. It's hard because I really want to get my plane out and fly. You know, you get a new toy, you want to get it out and you want to play with it. So that's what's driving me crazy right now, because I do want to fly my plane. And I know next weekend we're going camping in Kings Mountain. But I've got Monday and Tuesday off next week. So hopefully it'll be one day where it'll be good flying conditions. And if I like it, Steve was telling me about that, the group, Foothills, I'm going to say Foothills Flyer, that might be wrong, but he was telling me about that, so I've got that website bookmarked, that way if I decide that it's something I enjoy, then I'll invest the money in it and, you know, get a membership and whatnot.
A license, because your AMA license gives you the insurance, just in case you break something. It gives you $1 million worth of insurance. If you run into somebody's car, and if they got a BMW or a, you know, a really expensive car, a Mercedes or a van that's really expensive, then they'll pay up to $1 million liability insurance. And And then you got a few other tests you got to take for the FAA. Those are pretty simple, though. But you do have to have those. You have to be registered, and you have to take a safety test. I guess Steve probably told you about that, right?
Never got around to that, and I did not realize that because I was I didn't see on the FCC's website where they had started some of the stuff yet, but I know some of it's upcoming.
Well, that's the FCC. All right, FCC is basically for amateur radio. For flying airplanes, though, you have to register as an unmanned aerial system, UAS pilot. It's part 10. So there's two ways to do it. You can take a really big test, right, that you have to study for, and do part 107, and that makes you able to fly for money. Right, but if you're not flying for money, you don't have to do that, but you still have to take a test. It's a safety test, but you have to register, first of all, and you have to take a test that shows that you know about airplanes and you know when to fly, when not to fly, and that kind of thing. Just a safety thing. They don't want you getting in trouble and be by yourself. And, you know, people have, like, I knew a guy that was, he was prepping for some pylon races. And he started his engine, and they've got small props that are really high RPM, and they go 200 miles an hour, so they're really fast. He was running across out to the runway, across the tarmac out to the runway, and he fell on that prop when it was spinning wide open, and it cut him open in about six different places. And he barely got his cell phone and got help out there. He was all by himself. You don't want to do stuff like that. So that's what they teach you. They teach you how not to do that kind of thing or what to look out for. Just common sense safety stuff after you've been doing it for a while. So you'll want to look into that. That's the FAA's test, not the FCC test.
Well, here now that you're mentioning it, I know they got a lot of it's drone-oriented, so that's why I don't think I was 100% certain on it. But I did download the Before You Fly app. I did get that. But I was trying to see, everything's about registering drones. So that's what's confusing about it.
The word drone came about when DJI came out with a multi-rotor that would use GPS, and it would hover in one place and stay put right there, and it would do it reliably. That's when the name drone got attached to radio-controlled airplanes. There's three types of radio-controlled airplanes. There's multi-rotors. They have more than one rotor pointing up. There's fixed-wing. It's got a single plank wing, and it flies by moving through the air. And there's helicopters. They've got one rotor, a single rotor. So that's the three different kinds of aircraft. The multi-rotor, first of all, the media wanted to get numbers so they get money, and if you say the word drone versus multi-rotor, you're going to get more traffic and they're going to get more money, so they started pushing the word drone. The FAA, realizing that unmanned aerial system, UAS, was confusing to people, and they saw what the media did to the word drone, and so they kind of adopted that. So you see that. And here's the thing, English language evolves, okay, but if you go look up the word drone, it is a robot that has intelligence that can make its own decisions. There are very few airplanes that can make their own decisions out there. Nothing that you see at the airfield will be like that. Nothing that you get by from DJI will be like that. Almost nothing that you register with the FAA will ever be a drone. Right? It can't make split minute. It can't, you know, come to a fork in a road and say, should I go left or should I go right, all by itself. It relies on a human having programmed it before time. So none of them are drones. But it's just media hype and the FAA following what the media did, because that's the way the language evolves, if that makes sense. That before DJW.
It does make sense, but yeah, I guess I get it. So I found the recreational UAS safety test, or the TRUST. So that would be for just recreational flyers, right?
That's affirmative. You have to have that. And there's a registration process that you have to go through, and you have to re-register. I think it's every 4 years. So they'll give you a registration number. I don't think that costs much of anything. It might be like $5. Now, one-time register a pilot. Once you get your 107, you got to register every plane, and that's like $5 per plane. So you got to do that one-time registration, plus you have to take the trust tests, and I think you'll be good.
Well, looks like I got some homework to do then, and then I'm going to go get me another cup of coffee and then sit down and do this.
There you go. You can do it in the morning. That's exactly right. That's the way Steve and I both did it. As soon as it came out, we knocked it out so that nobody could question us. It didn't interrupt our flying at all. It's more being nervous from just from having to take a test than it is from. And I might get kind of scratchy because I'm going in and out of the mountains here. So let me know if I do.
Got a copy on this end.
Okay. Well, you know where Patrick gets into the dark, the black hole. Oh, I just flattened out at the plateau of 25. So I think I'm headed into the dark hole or the black hole.
Up towards Hendersonville, you'll lose it.
Could help get you further along. The further along you are, the easier it is, and the more you like it. But we don't want to crash it on the first day, and that definitely turns people off. There's a lot of people that they spend a ton of money on the first one, and they'll get a scale like a P-51 Mustang or a Spitfire or something like that, and crash it, and that's the end of it. They never do it again because they didn't go through the training phase. So I'm glad you're going through the training phase because that's another pilot we may retain.
That's why I tried to keep myself in check, because I'm bad to do that. I mean, you know, you see the $500 plane, and, you know, same remote, same everything, and you're like, oh, I want that one. So it was really hard to scale back and go for the a little bit cheaper $200. Still wanted a decent one that, you know, that had a nice controller, not a Toys R Us kind of plane. And so that's why I decided to go with the RC Superstore, because that's where I bought my son's truck, and I knew they sold good stuff, so I bought it from there. And you know, I know it's gonna be a little bit of money, but the controllers themselves are usually $100-something, so I didn't mind spending it, but I did want something good, you know, that get me started. And then if I decide that I like it, if I really enjoy it, then I'll keep going with it and get something bigger, because the Spitfires and stuff are really cool. And I just saw a Corsair, I think it was, on that website you were telling me about, so I've already got some eyeballs on some of them. But I think for now, maybe the bigger planes might be a little bit easier overall than some of the smaller ones, but I ain't 100% certain about that. KO4 CEF.
I don't know if you know Gearhart or not. He works at BMW, but he's a modeler, and he models for BMW, and he loves modeling. And, you know, it might take, he doesn't buy a kit or anything like that. He goes and buys the balsa wood. He's got a CAD-CAM modeling tool. He's got a CNC machine and 3D printer and all that stuff. And he modeled a quarter scale or a third scale Corsair, and it was beautiful. It took him 3 years to build it. He put the rivets and everything on it. And he was out at Triple Tree one day flying. I don't know if you've ever been to Triple Tree, but that's like the largest model airplane event on the planet now. It took the place of Byron's Originals, which was up in Ohio somewhere. But he was out there flying it, and he made a turn of his downwards, his base turn before his downwind final. And somebody else was doing the same thing at the same time in the same place, and they collided in the midair. And that was hours and hours and hours. That's thousands of hours of lost time. And it just broke his heart. But he's still flying now, but now he flies stuff that he buys off the shelf.
Gearhart. I'm not sure if it's the same one or not, but I definitely know a Gearhart that works out there. So it'd be interesting if I do know him. But, yeah, I've been to Triple Tree. We've actually, we used to go camping with the Cub Scouts. So my boys were in Cub Scouts. And we actually, one of the trips we went, there was a kid out there. He was probably, I think he was 15 or 16, and he had a beautiful plane. I mean, this thing was huge. And, I mean, they were unloading these things out of just trailers. And, I mean, he flew it, and he did a fantastic job down there. But, yeah, they told us about the ponds where they spent, like, millions of dollars so guys could skim the waterline or land the float planes and stuff in them. So it's really neat place.
an eye out for Joe Nall, the Joe Nall fly-in. And that's just where you go out there and you take what you bought and you fly it out there, and everybody enjoys it. And they have shows, they have jets, they have scale planes, they have fun fly, they have control line, free flight, flying off of the water. They got it all. But Joe Nall is the largest event in the world. You want to keep an eye out for that, for when that event comes around. My wife doesn't ever go to me with any airplane events or anything like that. But for that one, she'll go. So that's a good one. That's the best one there is. And used to be you had to drive way up north to go to it. Not anymore. Now it's down here. If you're talking to me, I'm in the mountains now, and you're really, really scratchy on me, so I couldn't get any of that. And let me know if I'm scratchy on you, too, and I'll quit, because I think I might be in the black hole.
A little scratchy. I can't reach you, but I love noise on me.
Him or me?
You fine, Dave. Chandler, you're a little white. You're right above the white noise for whatever reason. You're just not real loud, so it is kind of hard to copy, but other than that, you're still hitting the repeater. But yeah, Dave, you're doing fine.
How about now?
Damn that.
Keep my radio on high power. I was trying to tell you, y'all be talking about planes and stuff. Yeah, planes are cool, but wait, I want to have a RSU scale model of Air Wolf. If you ever watched that show during the 1980s, you know what I'm talking about.
I watched Air Wolf probably every episode of Air Wolf, probably five times each. Now, Air Wolf is really, really good, Chandler. I have watched that thing over and over and over again.
Helicopters can be hard to fly. I've never flown one, never tried one, but I've heard they can be hard to fly.
Well, they are harder to fly, but nowadays with flight controllers, nowadays you can fly just about anything in any attitude. Because if you get in trouble, you just let go of it, it straightens itself up. So it used to be before flight controllers came along, yeah, helicopters were really hard to fly, but not so much these days.
I'll jump in there and say, you're right about flight controllers. I probably ought to give it another try, but prior to that, helicopters were definitely easy to re-kit over.
Where is that air show that comes up? We had a member in the club that I used to be in who had a hot air balloon, and we used to go to those shows, but that was in the north, and they've moved, I think, to the Midwest somewhere. Where's that plane? What is the name of that plane show? I'd like to try and get to it.
JW, everybody's getting scratchy on me, but the name of that event is Joe Nall Fly-In. The Joe Nall Fly-In, and it is at the Triple Tree Airfield. Triple Tree Airfield, copy?
Would you smell it? Because it's scratchy. I got J No or J something.
Joe Nall, J-O-E. His first name it was Joe, and his last name was Nall, N-A-L-L. Joe Nall Flying.
U-S-L.
All right, and I'm going to back out and go to listening because I think I'm more trouble now than I am benefit. But anyway, enjoyed it, Andrew. Have a good day, Chandler. I might talk to you a little bit later. W4DJW, mobile in the mountains.
I don't know. Triple Tree is located in Woodruff area.
Dave, I'm going to send you a video on Facebook Messenger. And, I believe I got your number. I'm going to send it to you on your phone, over.
Barely, but I did copy it. Something about my phone number is sending something to me, but that's all I got.
I'm going to send you both a video or something that I'd like to have one day in regards to model aircraft.
I'll get back to Sam. I'm going to be listening only because it's really, really scratchy here. That's 4DJ.
that, really getting scratchier. K4 CHY, stand by.
Apparently the Joe Nall is in 26 days, so it looks like it's May 6th through the 14th this year. KO4 CEN.
Yes, I make it up there. Get these men. Somebody worked here. I'd like to make it. It's just, I don't know, it seems like it's a bad time and every time. Never had one, but sure looked at them.
And JR
AR and Futaba went to PCM, pulse code modulation. That was a big deal back in their days. Still had that triple heterodyne front end receiver, and it was still kind of shaky on 72 megahertz, but the PCM pulse code modulation at least made it so nobody else could take over your signal.
CA class, back to W4DJW.
And in fact, I had a buddy of mine that was heavily into electronics, and when all these, microprocessor controlled radios started coming about, there was an article to build a complete transmitter, and it was kind of like the Taranis of back then, just full flexibility in mixing and it was kind of the OpenTX before it kind of over.
I'm not familiar with that one. You are getting kind of scratchy though, am I?
Sounds like you're back in pretty good now. You was getting a little scratchy over or two ago, but you sounded solid that time.
Alright, I'm not moving now. Maybe that's why. I'm waiting at a stop sign. Sometimes when you stop moving, it gets a little bit better.
Definitely in the golden spot now. But yeah, my X9D is the old protocol. It's not the new protocol. And I've kind of stuck with that because all of my receivers are the old protocol.
I think you can upgrade the receiver's firmware, but you can't get off. You can't get to access. You're still going to be on ASSCC or something like that. I can't remember. But it won't be the newer one, the new protocol they just came out with, which is really nice. That's a whole lot easier to work with. You don't have, it's hands-free. There's no wire connections or anything. When you program your receiver, you can program it right from your transmitter with nothing connected except the RF, the RF link.
That is nice. And I've bought modern day, the little micro receivers that they've got out now. Don't recall the name of them. The XM. Yeah, I can't remember it. Anyway, I bought several of those here recently and have upgraded the firmware to them on, to the HCCST stuff. And, boy, I love those little things. They're just so small and still have full range and just really nice little receivers.
Steve and I bought up a bunch of them. They got kind of hard to do. It pays when they come around to get a handful of them because everybody likes them. I think they blew away Spectrum, JR, Futaba. I think they blew right past them right when they first came out because they're a whole lot less money and a whole lot more capability. So I wasn't the only one switching over. There were a lot of people. And that kind of wiped out the supply. There's no supply there for a while. We wiped them out. They built back up again, and as quick as they built back up again, everybody wiped them right back out again. So you got to, once you get converted over to that new protocol, you got to get them while you can. And boy, is it beautiful up here in the mountains. I haven't been up here in years. It is gorgeous up here. We got to bring some planes with goggles up here and fly through these mountains with planes with fixed wing airplanes and goggles. This would be beautiful flying.
DJWK4CHY. Yeah, I missed where you were up in the mountains. Where about are you? I missed that.
Now, if you go to 8PersFI and you look up my W4DJW-14, you'll probably see where I... You'll probably know better where I am than I will.
Yeah, I'll look you up and see where you're at. If anybody else wants to come in, jump on in, KN4CHY.
KN4WWC.
14 running at home, too. I had two 14s, one I was practicing on, and the one that I put in the truck. I think I forgot to turn the one off at home, so ignore the one that's at home. Hey, Chandler.
Hey, Dave. I just sent you that video on Messenger, and I just sent it to you up here. Y'all sound like you know a lot about flying model airplanes. Can you tell me? The only thing I know about model airplanes is if they make them for kids. Other than that, I don't know enough.
I'll tell you, like my first time full scale pilot told me, hey, let me see if I got it. It gets scratchy, so I may have to back out because I am going down a hill now where I was coming up. My full scale pilot told me one time, he said, I can teach you how to fly, but I cannot unteach you how to fly. Which meant once you learn how, you don't know, your brain will never go back to the way your brain was before you learned how to fly. So you don't know what somebody who doesn't know how to fly is thinking of asking. You can't figure that out anymore because you lost it when you learned how to fly. So I'll tell you the same thing he told me, Chandler. There's no way for me to know what's missing. You have to ask specific questions for me to be able to answer them, to know what it is you're thinking about that you're missing.
Is it fun?
It's a ton of fun, W4DJW. Once you learn it, learning it can be a little frustrating. But once you get over that frustration point, and it starts doing what you tell it to do, then it's extremely rewarding. But it's like anything else that's rewarding. It takes work to get there.
Thank you, Dave. And don't forget to check out that video when you get destinated, when you can.
Will do. Appreciate it, Chandler. W4DJW. You still there, Keith?
I know I've spent a lot of money on it. That's kind of, you do a little bit here and there, but it sure adds up over time, that's for sure. It's about as bad as ham radio is.
Especially if you plant a lot of balsa trees. That gets expensive really fast.
Man, I've not heard it put that way. I was familiar with re-kidding, but not planting balsa trees. That's pretty awful.
Yeah, I'm kind of like Johnny Appleseed with balsa wood. That's the way it goes. Anything that goes up in the sky will come back down. Gravity, we haven't figured out how to get around gravity yet. So gravity always wins, but it may be the way you planned it, and it may not be the way you planned it. But it is coming back down to the earth, one way or another.
For that, I tell you, the advent of foamies have come a long way. They're a lot more than just sheets put together now. All this molded EPP, they've got some really nice planes for a decent price, and they're very capable planes too.
When this first came out, I was like, there's no way I'm ever going to do that. That's crazy. That's ridiculous. I have them now. So, like the French say never, jamais dit jamais is what they say. Never say never. They are. There's a good place for them, especially if you're learning or if you're wanting to do FPV and you're learning FPV, because you're going to crash. And those things, like that rubberized styrofoam that doesn't crumble, but it just squeezes down and then comes back. That stuff's hard to beat for being rough and rugged, for landing out in a field somewhere, not on a paved runway or on a nice cut field.
That, and if you do break one of those, you got modern day adhesives and of course packing tape. So you can usually get them back up in the air, that's for sure. I've gotten into small wings. I've got one that I've got a thrust angle problem on, and my 3D printer's down, so I can washer it up and get it right, but I'd like to get the 3D printer up and running and make a new engine mount for it.
Thing that's a 3D printed flying wing?
It's a foamy. It's one of the Zeto HD. What do they call it? It's the little 250 gram model Zeto HD. Something went wrong in the mold, or because the mount itself looks legit, but the thrust angle is really bad on it.
Maybe you can get 3D print another one and make it get it at a closer angle. That thrust angle is important. Steve and I have been flying Blixers. Are you familiar with what a Blixer is?
That from the fellow flight test.
like a glider, like a foam glider. It's got a pretty good wingspan, a little less than 6 feet. But and it's kind of short coupled, but not so short coupled that it's squirrely. But the motor is all electric. The motor is behind the wing and up over top of the fuselage, and it's kind of canted up a little bit, pointing toward at the back. It's up a little bit so that when the power comes on, it kind of brings the nose down. So as you go faster, the increased lift doesn't cause it to pitch angle up. So they pitch the nose down intentionally that way just a little bit. But you see a lot of people using it for first-time FPV training, learning how to do FPV.
Yeah, and I took the hard way learning FPV with drones and such, and went through a lot of money and was out here flying in the backyard. I had a back in the day the old ZMR 250. It was I built up a pretty sweet rig and was flying in the backyard. I've got an RV spot and was coming full bore back up to the house and caught the electrical box in the RV spot over.
Ouch, that hurts. That's the way I started too. I flew multi-rotors with goggles on first. They were home built. I used a CNC machine to cut out a frame similar to a Team Black Sheep Go Discover. I don't know if you remember the one that Snappy flew up there in New York and got the FAA fined him a lot of money. But anyway, they had the thing called the Go Discover. So I just, I didn't use their frames. They're too expensive. I just cut frames out of 1/8 inch plywood, airplane grade plywood, 1/8 inch. And I cut the top and bottom frame out of it and used the DJI arms and got the motors and speed controllers and flight control and all that stuff, put it in it. And I was building, you know, dozens of those things for $400 a pop versus if you built the Team Black Sheep one, it was $2,000 a pop. So cut the price down from $2,000 to $400, and that way we could afford to build a lot more of them.
I am familiar with those old, seemed like those were very prolific in the day, and I was kind of the same way. I looked at the price tag, and it's like, yeah, maybe I should go the old knockoff route, because the ZMR 250 was like a knockoff of the QAV 250, so, yeah, I went the cheap route myself.
Can't think ahead, because they are going to crash, they are going to tear up. And, you know, you break a half a dozen of them at $2,000 a pop versus $400 a pop, that makes a huge difference.
The biggest thing that made me think about that crash is I had a RunCam HD on it that I had about 2 weeks. And when it hit that electrical box, that RunCam HD just, it was in hundreds if not thousands of pieces. And, you know, to this day, this has been years ago, I have never found that SD card. You know, right where it crashed at, have been through there I don't know how many times, and have never found that SD card.
Thing to a GoPro Hero 4, I did something really dumb. I took, I forget what it was, but anyway, I took off and went up, went vertical, got about 60 feet in the air over concrete. And the thing flipped upside down and came came headed right to the ground. And it destroyed everything. And the Hero 4 was on the front of it. And it turned it into, you know, thousands of pieces. It had a brand new MaxAmp battery in it, a $200 battery. And I don't know what the GoPro 4 cost, but anyway, that was an expensive oops.
I had gotten into the little micro market, and back then they were brush motors, little cordless brush motors, and those are just a blast that you can fly them anywhere, you know, even indoors or whatever. And now the brushless micro market is pretty strong now too. They've even got long range ones that are kind of the micro size.
Richard Sheldon out in California, but he multi-rotor builders or something like that. When it was really young and before DJI came out with their stuff, and he was doing big ones like hexcopters and quads, hex and octocopters. But he's pretty famous now. But back in the beginning, there was just a handful of people that worked with him on those, and I was one of those ones that was working with him on building. I was doing the hex, and we were supporting him as he was starting his business. But now he's got multi-copter builders, and it's pretty big. And then DJI came along, and then, you know, the FAA jumped in, and I kind of got away from it at that point because I was up to a mile flight, flying away a mile and coming back and enjoying it. And then the FAA got in there, and I thought, okay, I'm not gonna get fined like Trappy did flying over New York, so I just quit for a while.
I do remember that name, and I'd probably remember more about it if it wasn't for my feeble brain. Old age sneaking up and all that. But yeah, I was heavily into those back in those days, and still got a few micros laying around. Just don't fly as near as much as I used to. I need to get everything out, charge up battery. Well, probably buy new batteries by this time and get back at it. I really did enjoy those micros.
The micro, other than my wife bought me DJI Spark and the DJI Mavic Mini before the Mini 2 came out, and I fly the hound out of those things. And I know they're DJI, and they're not home built, and that's kind of like frowned on, but nevertheless, they're still fun. I still have a blast with those things. Plus, I go up there, I take them with me up to the tower when we go up there. And I can go up 400 feet a whole lot faster than Johnny and Landon can to see what's going on up there with the antenna. If anything's going on, I can buzz up there and look at it real quick and come back down and not worry about it flying, because it uses optical tracing. You know, it's got the optical sensor pointing at the ground, so it uses that along with GPS, so it won't just take off and do a flyaway. So, you know, got a lot more confidence in it than the home-built stuff that doesn't have the optical sensor in the bottom of it.
DJWKN4CHY. Yep, I know exactly what you mean. I was like seriously anti-DJI, you know, being a home builder, and they finally came out with the Mavic Mini, and it was like, well, that's a reasonable price, and I don't have anything to do, you know, real AP type stuff, you know, aerial photography type stuff. So I finally bit the bullet and bought a Mini, and I've been really impressed with it. I mean, I hadn't used it in a long time either, but they are probably the most rock stable platform you could put in the air, that's for sure.
I thought I would use mine until the first time that I broke it, the Mavic Mini. The Spark, I've never broken. The Mavic Mini, I did break it one time. Steve and I were out at the airfield, out at Campobello flying field, and I was going to film him. You know, now that's the new thing. You, instead of just looking at it from the ground, you go up above and you look at your airplane as it's flying going down instead of, you know, looking up at it. While I was going up on the opposite side of the runway, he was coming across on the opposite side of the runway, and we tangled on his, that held his wing, a strut. I broke a wing strut on his airplane, and he broke an arm on my my Mavic Mini. $26. I went and found the part for $26 on Amazon, ordered it, put it on, and the thing's flying as good as it was when it was new. That was a shock. I am entering Pisgah Forest. I haven't been here in many, many years. This is kind of cool. Pisgah Forest. I haven't been here since I was a teenager, I don't think.
Hey, where you at now, then? I couldn't find you on the map for some reason, but, back when we lived in Fountain Inn, that was one of our favorite places to go hiking at. Like I was talking about the other day, my little brother had come over from Norfolk. We'd spend 3 or 4 days just roaming around northern Greenville, Pickens, and Oconee in western North Carolina. Yeah, that was some of our favorite places to go, was over in Pisgah.
With really some good places to fly up here. I don't know if Forest is considered a national park or not. I hope not. but I'm scouting out good places for us to go fly. And, man, this is just eat up with them over here. I was thinking, you know, you see those guys out in California flying over in the desert. You know, they go just a little ways over to the desert and see the guys up in Utah. They can fly wherever they want to because, you know, you're 2 miles out of town, it's flat and there's nothing anywhere. But over here, it's woods, woods, woods everywhere and hills and valleys. And I'm thinking, this isn't good for radio control airplanes. But it is with airplanes with goggles. Because you can sit on the side of a mountain and fly out over the valley, and beautiful scenery, clear skies, just have to wait to get back and land.